But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Washington, D.C. Acknowledge me.
Chris Russell on the Team 980.
I'm not trying to be a jerk. It is a victory Motown Monday on a Snowmageddon Monday as everybody's trapped inside, or if you're not trapped inside, you're kind of being reckless out there on the roads, unless you have a big old snowplow attached to you or something like that. Good afternoon, everybody. Nice to have you with us as the Commanders are heading to the NFL playoffs for the first time since 2020. And ironically, thought about this just a second ago. The last playoff game they played in was against who? The Tampa Bay Buccaneers. In Washington, in front of an empty crowd, early in 2021. It will be a very, 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 very different scene this Sunday night for Sunday Night Football Wild Card Weekend Edition as the Commanders at 12-5 take on the champions of the NFC South. That would be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Baker Mayfield, Mike Evans, Todd Bowles, Shaq Barrett's back. Don't know about anybody on the back end. Whitehead's hurt. Got into a car crash the other day. Jamal Dean's been banged up. We'll get into the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, obviously, today and throughout the week as the Commanders draw that card as the winners of the sixth seed and Tampa coming from behind. And they were not looking good in the first half. And they rallied and rescued themselves. Now, as it turned out, they would have won the NFC South anyway because the Atlanta Falcons were S-A-W-F-T. And for the Falcons to have done what they did yesterday, even if they wouldn't have made the playoffs, to lose to the Carolina Panthers at home, after doing what they did to get rid of Kirk Cousins, man, they deserve it. They deserve that and then some. More on that later. We will obviously address everything in the NFL or as much as we possibly can. For right now, obviously, talk about the Commanders and their win yesterday in Dallas. And look, far from impressive, I don't know how anybody could be, quite honestly, impressed, but you don't get paid in this league. You don't draw any extra, if you will, you might draw extra praise, but you don't draw any extra like wins or what have you for just barely winning. You win or you lose. Now, there's context to everything, as we always talk about. There's nuance to everything, as we always mention on this show. It's some of our favorite words. So clearly, there is certain wins, like the Tennessee win a couple of weeks ago, which started this winning streak, that you look and say, ah, that felt good, that was great, that was awesome. And then you look at wins like what you got in New Orleans a couple of weeks ago by 1 point, hanging on for dear life despite a 17-0 and hanging on by the thinnest of margins, and then going home and beating by 3, come-from-behind fashion, last 15-second fashion, the Philadelphia Eagles without Jalen Hurts for much of the game, without C.J. Gardner-Johnson, ejected early in the third quarter from, again, a lot of your damage. And then you look at what happened against Atlanta and how they almost should have, could have, might have lost that game as well. And then you look at what happened yesterday. And the most important thing is that they won and that they finished 12-5 and that they themselves, they didn't need the spineless, gutless Chicago Bears players to deliver them a win in Green Bay. Although they got that, they ultimately earned it themselves. And they got a 12th win seed based on their own merit. Lucky, unlucky, part lucky, good, bad, comforting, great, dominant, surviving by the thinnest of margins, whatever you want to call it. It is what it is, right? Everybody can call it whatever they want. But you are what you are. 12-5. That's what their record says they are. Again, couple of wins here, especially the last three, four, by the thinnest of margins. Think about that. Each one of these games in this five-game outside of the Tennessee game, I should say, each one of these games over the last four could have gone either way and they could have lost every one of them. And maybe they should have lost every one of them. But they didn't. They found a way to win. They found a way to win. And that's exactly what they did yesterday. They found a way to win. It wasn't pretty. Everyone knows it. It wasn't easy. Everyone can see that. Hey, man, give the Dallas Cowboys some credit. Give the Dallas Cowboys some credit. It was not a situation where you go, oh, okay, let's kick our legs up, relax, nothing to see here, nothing to worry about type of game. And I don't know why anybody would have thought that it was going to be that to begin with. Even before you see the game play out the way it did. But the bottom line is, they had to earn every last damn bit of that 23-19 win. They had to earn every last damn bit of this five-game winning streak to get to 12-5. Remember, a month or so ago, they were 7-5. With one game left to go before the bye, and I know me, that was, post-Thanksgiving weekend, I thought they were going to lose to the Tennessee Titans because I thought the Titans' defensive line was going to control and manhandle the line of scrimmage, and they dominated that, and they blew them off the line of scrimmage. Now, we haven't seen that since, which is concerning. Maybe we'll get it again. Hard to think we will. But that's what kickstarted this five-game winning streak. And then you win four games by survival. By the thinnest of margins. But you get paid the same. And it counts the same. And it means ultimately the same. And it's why you play the games. Not every game is going to be pretty. Not every game is going to be easy. Not every game is going to be ugly. Every game is going to bring on different challenges. And if you can continue to try and solve the puzzle, you keep playing. Now we are at a point where they are 60 minutes away from either advancing or 60 minutes away, we think, 60, from going on vacation. And we all know that players go on vacation, coaches, and the front office will not. And we all know that win or lose this Sunday night, there'll be plenty of work still to be done and plenty of changes to be made. But ultimately, the Commanders are what they are. They're 12-5, and they are the sixth seed in the NFC. And they go to Tampa in a very winnable wild card weekend round playoff game. Will they? We'll get to that later on. But how they got here while far from pretty, is pretty damn impressive. And that's how I would describe yesterday's game as well. Because the Cowboys played that game, despite Trey Lance playing at quarterback, and people could say, well, if they really wanted to win that game, they wouldn't have played Trey Lance. They would have taken on, they would have played Cooper Rush. I got it. I understand. But there was nothing they could do about CeeDee Lamb. They played hard in that game on offense and on defense. They played hard in that game. There is no rhyme or reason why anybody should have thought that the Commanders were going to blow out the Dallas Cowboys. Why? Just because they got blown out on the road to Philadelphia last week? Well, okay. I mean, again, I try and tell you guys this all the time, that just because something happened in a previous meeting or in a previous week doesn't mean it's going to happen the next week or the next meeting. Yeah, the Eagles won 41-7 over the Dallas Cowboys in Philadelphia, granted, last week. And everybody thought, oh, wait a second. If Kenny Pickett and Tanner McKee and Saquon Barkley can run and dance all over the Dallas Cowboys, then so can the Washington Commanders. Well, wait a second. Again, that's not the way it works. It never has worked that way. Only fools think whatever happened last week, whatever happened the last time, is exactly what's going to happen the next time. Remember, the Dallas Cowboys beat the Washington Commanders the last loss that the Commanders had to drop them to 7-5. So there was naturally revenge on their mind. There was Dan Quinn, Joe Witt, Dorrance Armstrong, Dante Fowler, Noah Igbinoghene, Tyler Biadasz, who didn't play, and more, Sharif Floyd, part of the coaching staff, that were making their return to Dallas. Not that they spent forever there. They didn't. Not that they won a Super Bowl there. They didn't. Not that that should have been that big of a storyline. It really wasn't. But it was important to them. It was important that they went out and got the sixth seed. And sure, you would have liked a more comforting win. You would have liked a opportunity to kick your legs up at the end of the fourth quarter. Didn't happen that way. Commanders only won by four, and of course won in the last seconds. But what doesn't matter is what doesn't matter, and that's they didn't lose. They won. They found a way to win. And at this time of the year, especially at this time of the year, I think it's more important to remember that you win games in a lot of different ways. And they're not always going to be pretty, and they're certainly not going to be easy. And they will find this out, and they already know it, but you will find this out starting Sunday night. If they somehow beat the Buccaneers Sunday night, it doesn't have to be pretty. It doesn't have to look great. It just has to happen. Period. Will it? I don't know. But it just has to happen. It is survive and advance. There are no pretty boy points. And that yesterday was far from a pretty boy win. It was a hard-earned, that was ugly type of win. But they won. And they got their 12th win. And they got their sixth seed. And for those of you that think this matters, they avoided Philadelphia. And they kept their momentum. And that was something that was important to them, too. I would say they avoided injury, but we know that wasn't the case. Obviously, Jaden Daniels got a little bit banged up, sore leg, as they called it, after the game. Brandon Coleman, Frankie Louvu were banged up. Both came back. Don't know their status moving forward. You know, injuries always change and evolve. So nobody should think they're definitely going to play, not play, what have you. We have no idea. But they won that game yesterday when a lot of things were wrong and a lot of things went against them. And they contributed to some of that, but they found a way to win. And that's the most important thing. At this time of the year, it's not, again, pretty analytics, you know, highlights, Wowie, Pepsi, Rookie of the Year Award. None of that nonsense matters. It is simply about winning, surviving, and advancing. And that's all you have to do. You have to win by 1 point. And they won by four on the final play, second to final play of the game. All right, so here's the deal. You know, of course, a lot of people are not working today. We all know that. A lot of people working from home. If you're listening on the Odyssey app, wherever you might be, throughout the DMV area or worldwide, certainly invite you to come and join us at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980, live on the radio. Or if you want to leave a voicemail message, I guess you could do that on the Odyssey app. We have that option now. And if anything is good, we can re-rack that and play it. Or you can tweet me at RussellMania621 or X-post me, whatever you want to call it, at RussellMania621. Matty Ice is back in our D.C. Half Street studios. I'm working from the home office today, obviously, trying to stay off the road and be safe and all that good stuff. Matty stayed at the hotel last night. So he had a one-block commute into the radio station, so he's safe and sound, and we're thankful for that. We're thankful for everyone that is safe and sound. But if you want to join us at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980, we can certainly take your calls, and we invite them, and we welcome them, and we want to hear from you, and we want to get you aboard. And here's the question that I wanted to ask right off the get-go before we get into the game. And that is a 23-19 last-second win over the Dallas Cowboys, who were playing essentially for nothing and finished at 7-10. Does that feel good? Are you satisfied? Or did that somehow leave a bitter taste in your mouth? Or let's call it maybe a skeptical taste in your mouth? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. I'll give you my answer. I think you kind of know where I'm already leaning when we return on the Team 980. And we're always live and free and on demand on the Odyssey app. Stay with us. All right, everybody, we welcome you aboard here on a Victory Motown snowed in Monday. Nice to have you with us. 124 and change right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Matty Ice is back in our D.C. Street Half Street Studios. I'm working from home today, and obviously, if you're in the DMV, you know why. There's tons of snow out there. Be safe. Don't be driving around unless you have to. We have the Odyssey app. It's great. You can listen from your phone. You can listen from your computer, anywhere, anytime, anyhow. You need to go out. Obviously, we're here for you. But you can listen to us at home, wherever you might be, in the office, whatever it is. And there's a ton of NFL news. We'll get to as much of it as we can. Jay Gruden expected to join us at 3 o'clock. Other than that, I think we're free and clear, except for your phone calls at 301-230-0980, which we'll get to in just a sec. Let me give you a couple of things from the game yesterday, obviously, that were important. Marcus Mariota playing the way he did, both from a running and a passing perspective, just simply awesome. It was a completely different offensive output in the second half than was the first half, which was brutal. They only scored 3 points in the first half. They scored 20 in the second half. Marcus Mariota was 15 of 18, a 161, two touchdown passes, no interceptions, a rating of 141.0, plus 5 of 56 on the ground, including the 33-yarder late. The rushing touchdown also in the fourth quarter, so he accounted for three touchdowns, one to Zach Ertz and the game-winning go-ahead one to Terry McLaurin with a couple of seconds left. I mean, what else can you say about Marcus Mariota being absolutely awesome yesterday in every way, shape, and form? Even I think it was his second incomplete, the stretch play to John Bates. I think the stretch play to John Bates would have been the highlight of the week. I mean, until obviously he hit the game-winning touchdown pass to McLaurin, but Bates couldn't catch it, couldn't come up with it. So the bottom line is, even when he missed or had an incomplete, Marcus Mariota was great. Was great. He did everything you could ask him to do, including throwing an absolute perfect pass. Yes, Terry makes a tremendous catch and a tremendous play, and it's a great call by Cliff to get it in and out, to give them another. Remember, if that ball falls incomplete, that's only second and five. And theoretically, they have at least 1 second left, if not 2 seconds left. Theoretically. Not theoretically, I think realistically. Sorry, my dog is deciding to try and get into something here that she shouldn't be into, and it's distracting me. But the point of the matter is, like, even the execution, if it wasn't scintillating, if it wasn't perfect on that throw, and it was, everything was there. They still would have had another chance, still would have had another play. So even if it didn't work out the way it did, we can't say that the game would have been over because it wouldn't have been. So we don't know what would have happened. But we know there would have been another chance. Everything on that final play, offensive play of the game, was perfect. And you don't always win games. Again, when you're far from perfect with a perfect play at the end. And that is part of the reason why I'm not sitting here going, oh. Man, they stink. How did they only beat the Cowboys by 4? How did they survive? They're not really that good. Why should we believe in them? And I think that's the wrong approach. I think that's the absolute wrong approach. So here's, again, where you can go, hey, man, that wasn't the most comforting win. But you can look at it that way, and you can be disappointed and frustrated and maybe have a sour taste in your mouth. But, or, and this is something that I always have to remind myself of, at the tender ripe age of 51, there's ways you can look at things and say, you know what? All right. It was a bumpy road. It was pothole filled.
You know, you are old.
Thank you. Thank you, Jane. I appreciate you. Thank you very much. But they got there. They put themselves in a position to be there. And then they finished it off with perfection. And even though they didn't cover, right? I mean, we picked them on the show on Friday to cover the 6.5. Disappointing. Disappointing, as was Minnesota's performance last night, as was, I don't know, everybody's performance yesterday, such as Green Bay, Atlanta, the Dolphins, I guess the Chiefs. I don't know. But the bottom line is they took an imperfect path and finished it with, again, as perfect of a execution as you're going to have. Now, maybe you don't look at that and say, okay, that was nothing special. You're crazy if you think that play is easy. You're nuts. It's a great throw. It's in a spot where only Terry can get it. It's back shoulder fade style. And Terry climbs the ladder with a defensive back in his grill, reaches out over him, snatches it away, holds on to it on the way down, gets his feet and his body in bounds, and goes and survives the ground. You can't ask for any better than that. Sure. I mean, I guess if it was 45 yards or the touchdown at the near the end of the Bengals Monday night game was prettier. But the bottom line is those circumstances, those sequences, weren't available, or B, weren't at the time what we thought might have been, if they didn't execute it right, the perfect and final play, right? Because if you think about it, your plan was to run two plays. You have 6 seconds. It's not like you have 3 seconds. Your plan was to run two plays. What happens if you don't execute it exactly right? You might only be able to run the one. So you really have to almost look at it as, yeah, we'd like to run two. We think we can run two, but we really only have one. And they expertly executed it. And that's all that ultimately matters. Not that they didn't cover the spread. Not that they struggled. Not that they didn't do this well. Yeah, there's plenty of things they didn't do well. But they executed when they absolutely had to execute. And the second half, again, very, very, very different than the first half. Why don't we take a quick time out for a trending alert? Plenty of NFL news, and then we will get to some of the things on the first half side of the ledger and, you know, continuing, obviously, through the second half. And we'll spend a lot of time on the game today. And then, of course, we'll make our way into Tampa Bay for the playoff game this Sunday night, which, again, is the first time since they lost to Tom Brady and the Buccaneers in early 2021 at an empty then FedEx Field, then the Washington football team. Very different situation this Sunday night for the 12-5 Commanders as they head to Tampa, where they started Jaden Daniels' career and this journey on this 2024 into 2025 season. Let's do that next, right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, here we go. Tons of NFL news. The Jacksonville Jaguars have fired head coach Doug Peterson, but they're going to retain general manager Trent Baalke. However, a report from ESPN suggests that the new head coach will report directly to owner Shad Khan and not to Baalke, which apparently was the setup under Doug Peterson. Peterson lasts 3 years with the Jaguars, won a division in their first year, but collapsed down the stretch last year and never really recovered this year. Meanwhile, the Giants are going to keep Brian Daboll, Joe Shane and Brian Daboll as both their head coach and their general manager. But John Mara, the owner, says he's out of patience. So you know what that means. That means the Giants are basically going to have to get off to a good start and finish strong after this disappointing year, or those guys are both probably going to be gone. But surprisingly, they are staying for now. Meanwhile, the Seattle Seahawks have fired offensive coordinator Ryan Grubb after just one season. He came over from the Washington Huskies in college football. Seattle won 10 games, but for whatever reason, it just didn't work under first-year head coach Mike McDonald, who's job is safe. And again, the Seahawks did win 10 games, including a win yesterday in Los Angeles against the Rams, which helped the Commanders take on Tampa instead of going out west to Los Angeles. Meanwhile, another injury note here, Deshaun Watson has had a setback in his recovery while rehabbing from a torn Achilles. That will extend the recovery process and likely even lead to more speculation that the Cleveland Browns are going to take a quarterback with the number 2 overall pick in the 2025 draft. Tonight, the Capitals are in Buffalo. You can hear it on on 106.7 The Fan beginning at 6:45 after a Saturday afternoon win against the New York Rangers. And here on the Team 980 at 6:30, following Craig Hoffman, we have coverage of the FCS Championship. It's Montana State and North Dakota State, and that's what's trending. All right, it is a victory Motown Snowmageddon Monday right here in the nation's capital and beyond on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Out to the phones in just a sec, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Listen, as good as Marcus Mariota was in the second half, Jaden Daniels was not very good in the first half. We all know it. No reason to hide behind it. It wasn't a great game plan. There was no running game again. There was no pass protection, obviously, when you're missing Tyler Biadasz, that's going to hurt. But Jaden Daniels got sacked three times in the first two drives, twice on the first drive. There was no run game. There was no nothing. Terry only got targeted, I think, was it twice? I think Terry was targeted twice with one catch in the first half. And one was on a third down slant, which it looked like it was there. And Jaden just let him a little bit too far, and maybe Terry didn't get out far enough, just a hair off. And maybe it's a big play, and maybe we have a completely different perspective if they hit that. But the bottom line is the raw numbers say, our eyes tell us it was not a good half in any way, shape, or form for Jaden Daniels or the Washington Commanders offense. In any way. There was nothing positive. The only... Wait a second. He did get banged up. So you can't even say the only positive was he didn't get hurt. Yes, he's not hurt. Yes, he's not injured. But he did get banged up. Or at least that's what we were told after the game. When, during the third quarter, after they pulled him, they told everybody in the press box, and I believe even Fox, he was being pulled because of a coach's decision. And a lot of people got salty with me when I questioned that, and when I asked, wait a second, I'm confused. What happened here? And I'm still confused. You announce he's being pulled because of a coach's decision. Then we find out after the game, oh, wait a second, he's got a little bit of a sore leg. Now, again, not a huge deal, maybe a matter of semantics to some of you. I'm sure it will. But the bottom line is, he wasn't pulled just purely because of a coach's decision, i.e. for performance, which we didn't think would happen, or because they said, you know what, it's just not going the way we were hoping. Let's get him out of there before anything happens. It was more a coach's decision after something happened to his leg, and it led to mild leg soreness, whatever the hell that is. Again, don't expect it to be an issue. They said it was new. They said it was not lingering from the Sunday night game. He was not on the injury report. Not a big deal, but just curious. Just curious. And we all know this, that if Jaden Daniels and if the Commanders are going to win in the playoffs and score more than 21 points, 20 points, 23 points, what have you, Jaden needs his legs to be fresh. And we all know this. A lot of people believe that there was a lot of semantics, maybe a little bit of a cover-up or a little bit of plausible denial when it came to the rib injury, right? People kept thinking, well, there's no way Jaden's 100% right. And they kept swearing that he was. They kept swearing that there was nothing to see here. And then yesterday, again, just the opposite, they say, nope, he's being pulled for a coach's decision. That's what they were told in the press box. That's what they reported. That's what they were told. Nothing to do with injury, coach's decision. Which, again, would indicate one of two things. Either an injury, or I should say pulled because of performance, which, again, nobody believes, or just a decision by the head coach that previously wasn't there to say, you know what, we're tempting fate here. It's not working. It's not going well. Let's get him out of here before something bad happens, which I'm totally fine with, totally okay with. Yet, that doesn't seem to be the way it really was, because after the game, they came out and said, nope, that's right. It was a coach's decision, if they even use that term, after they found out that he had a little boo-boo on his leg, that he was dealing with some mild leg soreness. So, again, maybe a matter of semantics to some of you, but I found it interesting, curious, fascinating, alarming, perplexing. Probably perplexing is the best adjective, the way they kind of publicly handled it. Maybe it's not a big deal to you. A lot of you wear your burgundy and gold pom-poms and think nothing's wrong and everything's Shangri-La, and that's fine. But the bottom line is it was kind of weird, especially when you consider how they went to the depths that they did to say that there was nothing at all wrong with him with the rib injury after the initial week and after he came back. There was nothing at all wrong. All right, let's get to the phones. 301-230-0980. Let's get you involved here. Let's say hello to our pal Jason and Laurel before we get to Rodney in Orlando. What's up, Jason? How are you?
Hey, Rooster. How you doing?
Jason, what's going on, pal?
Glad you didn't have to battle 7 or 66, whatever you battled.
Oh, 66, yeah. I'm glad, too. I guess the major highways, from what I've heard, are not bad, which is generally the case. It's all the side and county roads that you have to take, of course, to get up there. And I don't know how bad it was in Maryland or whatnot. I think everybody got whacked pretty good and fairly equally.
I haven't seen a plow yet, but I got 9 inches here in Laurel.
Okay, yeah. I don't know if we have 9 inches out here in Loudoun County, but it's supposed to snow a little bit more. But, you know, again, the bottom line is it's not just the highways. It's the roads that you have to take to get there. Like, you know, different area. My daughter lives in Canton, Ohio. She spun out 3 minutes from her house this morning, and she couldn't have been going that fast. Trust me. I mean, I know exactly where it happened. It doesn't take a lot. It does not take a lot. So be safe. Be careful. Don't drive too fast. Don't drive like an idiot, switching lanes and blowing the speed limit, all that. If you're out there and you have to be out there, it is, you know, obviously better to be at home. But the biggest thing I can add is, see, they can't say this, Jason, but I can say this. Don't drive like an beep, you know? Because that's the problem.
Absolutely. Look, Chris, I was super excited about how the game actually turned out. I don't think we're the most talented team in the playoffs. I think we might be the least talented team of the 14 that made the playoffs. But we're one of the best coached teams, and we're one of the toughest teams. And even with JD5 out, I mean, Marcus played great. I was wrong about him. You know, last week we talked about, I was long about the O-line coach. I was wrong about Marcus. I did not want him. He's obviously been invaluable all year. And the two times that he's played great. And the offense honestly didn't look like it took a step back with a different guy at the helm, which I think is a credit to not only him, but also what Cliff is doing. The team, looking at the reactions, you know, Cliff at the end, these guys all congratulating each other. I mean, I do think it's weird. They've harnessed something special here. Now, I don't know if they can win a Super Bowl, but I tell you what, they got a shot at anybody they play.
So the question for
really
the,
believe in each
I
other.
Agree. Yeah, I agree with all of that. But the question for me is, why did they play so much better under Mariota than Jaden Daniels? And how much of that has to do with the play calling, right? Because the run game wasn't good for either. As a matter of fact, Mariota was the leading rusher, and he doubled up Jaden, and Jaden was the second leading rusher, right? So it's not like one had a more advantageous natural running game. They didn't. So the question becomes is, what was Cliff thinking, and what was Cliff doing, and why was everything off in the first half, and why did it seem like they were holding on to the ball longer, one? Two, struggling, A, more pass protection-wise, and B, why did it improve? Did it improve just because the Cowboys tired out? Did it improve because they were doing more quick game stuff, more quick release stuff? Was Jaden, for whatever reason, not seeing the field? We don't know these things, though. But there was clearly a difference between the first half and the second half. That's easy to see. And what the reason is, I mean, I could guess. I think you could guess, but we don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he added a spark, and, you know, for whatever reason, I mean, maybe Jaden have a good week of practice. Who knows? You know what I'm excited about? We get another night game, and we better get used to him, Chris, because we're going to get a lot of them next year.
Yeah. Well, as you and I have talked about on DM and all that stuff, and I'm with you. You've said this. I mean, I've been worried about this for months and months and months on end. When you have a very good team and you have a star quarterback, that means you are going to be on every major holiday, and that means you are going to be on primetime 5 or 6 times a year. And some people love that. I personally don't. I think it wrecks with everybody's schedule and makes everything harder. But the bottom line is they are going to be on Sunday night, Monday night, Thursday night, at least scheduled, I would say, 4 times next year. And I believe strongly that they're going to play Thanksgiving Day in Dallas, which I consider prime time anyway, even though it's late afternoon. It's essentially prime time for me. And I think they're going to play on Christmas Day. So I think the world is going to see a ton of the Commanders next year. The question that you always hope for, right? From an injury perspective, are they going to see the Commanders with Jaden Daniels? Or are they going to see the Commanders with somebody else? Jace, thank you. I appreciate you as always. Good to hear from you. We'll take a quick timeout. We'll get to Rodney in Orlando on the other side before the top of the 2 o'clock hour. Rodney, hang in there. We'll get to Alex. We'll get to Paulie. We'll get to you at 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Now a little Redbone for you on a Motown Monday, Victory Motown Monday. Snowed in and everything in between. As we approach 2 o'clock, Maddie, I'm watching the Pat McAfee show, which I do generally enjoy. I mean, sometimes it's ridiculous, but they're coming from the Intuit Dome in Los Angeles. And McAfee has had, you know, of course, Triple H, Michael Cole, the voice of WWE, and just a second ago, Joe Tessitore from ESPN and ABC, and of course, the lead voice of Monday Night Raw. Cole is now the lead voice of WWE, but he generally is just on SmackDown, but this is such a big event. Do you happen to know if there's a podcast available that might just be talking about this?
Funny,
and this alone?
Funny you bring that up. There actually is a podcast that just started. It's in episode 2 right now. And I'm pretty sure that the guys that are doing the podcast actually talk directly about this topic, you know? I'm pretty sure that they talk about what to expect in the program, what to expect with the change to a streaming format. There's a bunch of, and those guys, I mean, they sound weird. The Rooster and the Rookie, I mean, I don't know about that, but
maybe there might be that option. And if you look hard enough, like on Twitter,
they're links
at Mr_Me93 or at WrestleMania61. You just might find some links. All right, let's get to Rodney in Orlando next up here on the Team 980 before the 2 o'clock top of the hour. What's up, Rodney? How are you?
Hey, Chris. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for making it, Rodney. Happy New Year.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. As far as yesterday's game goes, I feel like, you know, the game plan was always to go in and win the game. You want to have that momentum going into the playoffs. We won 5 straight now. You get that bad taste out of your mouth the last Dallas game that you played. So, and now you get an opportunity to go back and play the team the way it all started this year in Tampa. And I was at that game. So I would love for them to be able to go back down there and kind of exercise some of those demons. You know, when you got a player like JD on your team, you got a chance at winning any game that you play. So I'm really looking forward to this playoff run and what we can do This team kind of reminds me of that 2019 national team. They just always seem to find a way to win games, and this team is that same exact way. Thanks for taking my call, Chris.
Thank you, Rodney. Appreciate you. As always, good to hear from you on the Odyssey app in Orlando. Yeah, not a long drive. Honestly, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make the game. Just being on a Sunday night is problematic because I got to find the right flight, not only to get me home on Monday morning, but to get home without any travel delays, and that's the problem. I need to do the show at 1 o'clock. It's not like we can just, push the show back to 7 o'clock because of bad weather, and I just don't know what it's going to be like. So don't know if I'm going to be able to make it, but I think it's going to be a great atmosphere. I think the Buccaneers have a good home field advantage, even though, you don't generally consider, teams in Florida having a strong home field advantage and a diehard, passionate fan base. I think they do. And I think that's going to be a tough environment. And Tampa has not been good in primetime this year. But remember, the last time they were good in primetime was at Raymond James Stadium, was in the playoffs, was on Monday Night Football last year in this particular round when they waxed the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, different opponent, different trajectory, but that was the last time they were good on prime time. More on the Bucs, more on the Commanders next on the T980 and the Odyssey app.